Fine. We are doing a study on the New Testament church. We've just started it last week, and it's going to be a very lengthy study. In fact, everything that I will be ministering should be concerning the New Testament church. So really, we're doing a study, but we're not doing a study. Everything that I should be ministering to you should have something to do with the New Testament church, no matter what I'm ministering about. If I minister from the book of Leviticus concerning the sacrifices and the ceremonies and all of those, that, I should still be able to show you that's New Testament church. So what, no matter what I teach should be the New Testament church, but we're titling this the New Testament church. And last week we began it and we saw some things. And we first of all saw that the very nearest and dearest thing, the very nearest and dearest thing to the heart of God is what? His church. Now, if you don't understand that, you don't have an understanding of the God you serve. From the beginnings of time, we're going to look at it in a minute, from the foundations of the earth, you were predestined for such a time as this. The church was in the mind of God from the very foundations of the earth. It is the closest thing to the heart of the Lord. As a man's bride should be the closest thing to him, so should the New Testament church be the closest thing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we looked in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10, and we saw that Jeremiah the prophet was sent forth to root out, pull down, destroy, and overthrow some concepts that the nation of Israel had woven into the fabric of the law. They were not what God said at Sinai. They were not what He said to do, but they had put concepts into it and made it what man wanted, not what God wanted. There's a real anointing here this morning. A real anointing. But what God said at Mount Sinai was not what they were doing in the day of Jeremiah. And so the rooting out and the pulling down and the destroying and the overthrowing Jeremiah was told by God to go forth and begin to do so that God could do two things. Build and plant. And Jesus said, I will build my church. So what we saw last week, last Sunday morning, was basically the thought that there were some things today that must be rooted out, pulled down, destroyed and overthrown in our concept and our thinking of what church is. Because what we're seeing today is not what Jesus said, I will build. We also saw that he cannot receive an underdeveloped little girl for his bride. His bride will be perfect and beautiful. She will be at the very height of her performance. She will be at the very height of her beauty. She will be doing something that she's never done in any other generation. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Sunday night, we looked at the verse that we're fixing to read right now, and we looked at the words, I will build my church. We drew them out and we looked at them at length and we saw that I is a very personal word. Jesus says, I will build it. I. He's very personal with the church. He says, I will. The word will there gets into his will, his desire, his determination. His desire, his will is to build a church. He says, I will build. The word build we looked at. Build takes time. It takes time to do some building, doesn't it? We've been building here for several weeks and we're not completed yet. Jesus has been building his church for 2,000 years. Is it completed yet? No. But he's working on it. My church. That's my bride right there. She's no one else's bride. She's my bride. Personally his. The church is personally his. But the main thing that we need to see from that is that we are personally his. We are not of the world, he said. You can't be of the world and be of the Lord. Now we try. We have as much of it as we can handle, you know, as much of it as we can get by with. Still want to get in by the skin of our teeth. Just so we get our little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Doesn't work that way. His bride will be chaste, and His bride will be pure. It won't be a bride that's having an adulterous relationship with the world. My bride, my church. Then the word church. The word church is the Greek word ekklesia. Called out, separated people. Called out, separated people. He said, I will build my church. What I will build, Jesus said, is my called out, separated people. Isn't that what He's saying? I will build my called out, separated people. Now let's read in Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my separated, called out people, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Now you got to see that. He didn't say, I will build my churches. He didn't say, I will build my denominations. I will build my church as in singular. I will build my separated, called out people, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. That's what we're talking about in the church. We're not talking about a building that can stand against the waves of the devil. We're not talking about a system that can stand against the waves of the devil. We're talking about a people, a bride. We're talking about a special called out, separated people who's not having a love affair with the world, that only has a love affair with Jesus and seeking after Him in an intimate relationship with Him. That's who He's building. That's who He's putting together today. That's what He wants more than anything in the earth, is a people separated unto Him, called unto Him, loving Him. That's what it's all about. Not a building or a denomination or a system. He's had all of those He wants. We're looking at today. I want to bring out some thoughts to you. What we'll be talking about today is three thoughts. I'm going to put them together. Ages. Dispensations. And covenant. Ages, dispensations, and covenants. That's what I'm calling this message. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see that in the mind of God, from the very foundation of the world, the church was there. How eternal is Jesus Christ? Would you say that He was all eternal? Is He not the bridegroom of the church? Is it not for this purpose that He came? Then from the very foundations of the world, I'm already seeing that in the mind of God is the church. Sometimes we tend to think that it was a parenthetical thought that God had at the end of His relationship with Israel. You know, it didn't work. They rejected the Messiah. So God, in the very last minute, He devised this plan called the church. And He just kind of threw it in as something that might work until He could get back with His people. Look at verse 4, Ephesians 1. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before God. How long has he had this in mind? How long has he had you called for such a time as this? Before the foundations of the world. Now I could take you and I could show you in the book of Galatians where actually the law was parenthetical. The law was the schoolmaster until we come to Christ. This purpose that you are here for, this body that you are in, and I'm not talking about this local assembly. What I'm talking about is the body of Christ at large, the universal body. You were predestined to be in it before the foundations of the world. You were in the loins of God. Well, His seed got you, didn't it? The seed of God enters into you as it did into Mary. And that holy thing that is birthed in you is just like it was when it was birthed in Mary. The same Holy Spirit that came into Mary came upon you. The same seed. Oh! The same seed of God that gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ now quickens your mortal body. Ted Cash probably knows much more about this than I do, but I'm told that it's from the seed of the man, the sperm of the man, that dictates the blood type in a person. Your father's blood, your father dictated the type of blood that you would have. Am I correct in that? Is that? In the blood of Jesus Christ, it was the seed of the Holy Ghost. It was the sperm of the Holy Ghost that came upon a human woman. And His blood was the blood of God. The seed that came forth and mated with the egg of Mary brought forth Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man. In His body, in His flesh, He was human. But His blood was divine. That's why the spilling of that blood, Scott, that's why the spilling of that blood washes away your sins. It's divine blood. It's sinless blood. It's perfect blood. From the foundations of the world. Look in verse 10. I want to look at some thoughts real quick. The church is as eternal as Jesus Christ Himself. In verse 10 it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time. Now your Bible may not say dispensation. Your Bible may say administration. Or your Bible may say stewardship. Or your Bible may say plan. That Greek word there means the same thing. It means dispensation, administration, stewardship, or plan. But what we're really talking about here is in the dispensation on that particular time frame of God, in that time frame of God is what we'll be talking about now, but in that dispensation of the fullness of times, do you see there that no matter how you look or how you translate dispensation, that word there, that it's got something to do with time. Do you see that? In the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Him. Look at chapter 3 and verse 2. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you. The dispensation of what? Grace. The time of grace, the administration of grace, or the stewardship of grace, or the plan of grace. That's what the church is. This age in which we live is the dispensation, or the stewardship, or the plan of grace. It's different from any of the other dispensations that God has given to man. It's totally different, and we're going to look at them real quick. But I want you to see that when God deals with man, He deals with him in dispensations. When God deals with humanity, you're going to see in just a second, He'll deal with him in ages, dispensations, and covenants. Ages, dispensations, and covenants. That's the only way God can have fellowship with you is through His dispensation, His covenant, and His age. It's according on what age you live in, which age you dwell in, is how God deals with you and has fellowship with you. I'm going to show you that in just a second. Let's look at some terms real quick. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now that word ages there is the Greek word aeon, and it means a messianic period. It means a time period of God, and it can be future or it can be past. Look at that in Strong's Concordance, it's number 165. And it means a messianic period. An age is a time period which God specifically designated that something should happen and His relationship with man would be in a certain covenant form. Colossians 1:26. Back up to 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the what? Dispensation of God, or the stewardship of God, or the administration of God, or the plan of God. Paul is simply saying, I was made a minister in this plan of God. Hey, I was made a minister in this plan of God. I made a stewardship. I am made a minister in this plan of God. And you know something else? So are you. You are made a minister in this plan, in this age, in this time. Not in the time of Moses, or not in the time of Noah, or not in the time of Adam, not in the time of anybody else, but in this time, in this particular age. He says, therefore I was made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages. Hid from the messianic periods. Hid from other times of God. This time, this mystery, this Christ in you, the church has been hidden. But it's always been there. It was hidden and concealed in the womb of the Old Testament. It was hidden and it was concealed in the womb of the Old Covenant. But it was there. And in the fullnesses of the times, He brought forth His Son, Jesus. It's always been there. It's just been hidden. You can't see a baby as long as it's in the mother's womb. It's hidden. Oh, you may see the signs. They saw the signs of the coming of the Messiah. But it wasn't until He came that the times changed, the dispensations changed. And He says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Hey, He's going to make something manifest to His saints. He's going to make something completely understandable to you and I. This is a mystery, Paul says. But He's going to make it well understood to us. You and I are going to be able to understand this thing. Is that what that says? It's been hidden to everybody else. But to you and to me, and to this generation, and to this age, and to this dispensation, it's been made manifest. So God deals with people we see in ages and dispensations. And I'm not going to turn to it, but you know what? You should know enough about covenant. If you watch television, you should know enough about covenant to get us by today. But covenant It's simply the way God deals with His people, and He makes covenant with different people. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 4 tells us that covenants is plural. There's more than one covenant. How many understand there's more than one covenant? Sure, we don't have to go through that, do we? So we just kind of fly on by that. But there's more than one covenant. There's the new covenant, there's the old covenant, there's the Mosaic covenant. I'm fixing to show you about 8 or 9. So we're seeing what I'm getting at. God deals with people in ages, dispensations, and covenants. Now, let me throw this in real quick. God deals with people. He deals with you in your lifespan. He deals with individuals by their lifespan. In other words, just because you blow it one time, God's not through with you. David messed up, but He dealt with David his whole lifespan, from the time he was a child to the time he passed away and went on into the heavenlies. He's going to deal with you the same way, folks. And He deals with families by generations. He's dealing with us by our generations. Do you see? He's dealt with me. He's dealing with them. He's going to deal with his son. He deals with us by generation. I'm a new breed in my family. There's none other like me. Boy, out there, there's a new creation. They're right. There's nothing else like me in my family. But you see, He's dealing with us in generations. I'm bringing up one just like me, except more vain. David said, I'll be more vain than us. Lance says, I'll be more vain than you, Daddy. He's already understanding things that I didn't know until last year or year before. And He deals with nations by centuries. Doesn't He? Sure. You see, we are reaping the benefits now that our forefathers, the pilgrims, set up for us. They founded this country under Christian ethics. And we are reaping those benefits now. But you can't keep killing babies, America. You can't keep using drugs, America. You can't keep looking at pornography, America. There's a time coming when it's going to end. Now, I need these lights down, Don, or somebody. Just give me the first switch, Roger, or somebody. I just need these. Give me these off so that we can see this well enough. Okay, that's good. All right, what I want to show you on this overhead, and I'm going to build it, ages, dispensations, and covenants. Now, God, do we understand that God deals with us in ages and dispensations and covenants? You'll see it just real clear. The first one, Lance, bring it up there, eternal ages past. The eternal ages past. That's the first age that we know anything about. Now, how many knows that God's older than 6,000 years old? Huh? We put Him, He was just born, and so He created this. We don't know that much about it, but we know that the ages existed before the creation or our Genesis. God's older than 6,000 years. So there's an eternal age, but we don't have a covenant for that. We don't need one. We don't have a dispensation for that. All right, the second one is creation. That's the first one that we're familiar with. The age of creation. The dispensation of conscience. And the dispensation of conscience. That was the Adamic period. The Adamic covenant. And under that time, we went from the time of creation, Genesis 1, to the time of the fall. The time of Adam. And then the third one you see there is the age of recreation. Human government. That's the dispensation. And the covenant is the Noahic covenant. That was from the time of the deluge or the flood up until the time of Abraham. Now you see, already, was the covenant that God made with Noah the same covenant that He made with Adam? No. There was a different age, there was a different dispensation, there was a different covenant. But what we're learning already is more about God. We learned about Him in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. But we learned a whole lot more about Him in 6, 7, 8, and 9. It was a brand new covenant. All right, the next one. Number 3 is recreation. No, that's the one I just did one. All right, number 4 is patriarch. That's the patriarch age. It's the dispensation of the promise. And it's the covenant with Abraham. It went from the time of Abraham to the time of Sinai. Now, we learn about God in creation. We learn a little bit more about Him in the time of Noah. But we learn a whole lot more about Him in the time of promise, in the time of Abraham. We learned that God's going to make some demands on us. He's going to demand the circumcision. Never before had they had circumcision. God's adding more and more about Him. We start learning about some sacrifices that Abraham's given. We start learning some things about it. We learn that God wants us to separate from Ur of the Chaldees, from the world, from Egypt. We start learning more and more and more about God. You see, we've got a different covenant. We've got a different age. We've got a different dispensation. Number 5. We see Israel as a nation is the age. We see the dispensation is the law. And we see the covenant is the Mosaic. Moses was the mediator of that covenant, wasn't he? And that one went from the time of Sinai all the way to the time of the first coming. 1,500 years. 1,500 years. But we learned so much about God in that time. We learned that there's something about these ordinances, and there's something about these sacrifices, and there's something about all of these things. There's something about all of this that God's revealing about Himself. We learned that we need to come to God with a sacrifice. This is how God had fellowship with mankind in the time of the law. He had fellowship differently with Him in the time of Adam. He had fellowship differently with Him in the time of the human government. He had fellowship differently with Him in the time of promise. In the time of the law, He has fellowship completely different. But we're learning that God not only wants to have fellowship with you, He wants obedience from you. He wants sacrifice, but what's the best, obedience or sacrifice? Obedience is better than sacrifice. We're learning in the times of the law and Moses how God deals with people, how He wants to have fellowship with it. We're learning more and more about. But now, let me stop here. Did what we learned about God and Adam end in Noah? No, it was superseded by a greater covenant. What we learned about God in the time of Noah, did it end with Abraham? No. It was just added to and superseded by the greater. What we learned about Him in the time of Abraham, did it end with Moses? No. It was fulfilled. It was added to. The next one, number 6, the church. You need to know, if you don't know, that you are living in the dispensation of grace, not law. You need to know that the time of grace supersedes the time of law. You can work at it all you want to. You can beat your body. But until you desire to be pure, until you desire not to have fornications and to desire not to have adulteries and not to be a drunkard, until you desire to raise your children right, until you desire to do these things, it don't matter how you beat yourself. Law won't get it. Grace supersedes law. The covenant was the church. Is God through? That's where we're at, isn't it? But now, okay, let me get this. What we learn about God in the time of Moses and the law, did it end with the church? What we learned about God and the law, did it end? Was it abolished? Was the law abolished? Let's look at a scripture real quick. book of Matthew. You see, you got to understand this. Matthew 5, I think that's where it's at. That's where it was at this morning. Matthew 5, verse 17. Is you that have a red letter edition, is that red letters? It means it's written by the blood. That's Jesus speaking. That's blood speaking. That's life speaking. The life is in the blood. All right, verse 17. Think not that I am come to abolish or destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to abolish or destroy, but to fulfill. Now there's a difference. One's going to supersede the other. One's going to be greater than the other. One's going to be the fulfillment of the other. The church is the fulfillment of what Moses proclaimed. He fulfilled all of those things. In Moses' time, they brought a lamb to a house and they took the blood of the lamb and spread it on the door. But who is the Lamb of God? Sure. And they brought sacrifices and they brought ceremonial things and they brought traditions and they brought all of those things. But who does all those sacrifices become? Jesus. He fulfilled them. Didn't end them, didn't abolish them, fulfilled them. Gave us a greater revelation of God. A brand new, something we've never before seen. We began to look at God as Father. Abba, Father. Did you know that you could not call God Father before the time of Jesus? Blasphemy. Number 7. The age to come. Called millennia. Dispensation. The covenant of the kingdom. It's when in its totality we rule and reign with Christ. It's when in its totality we sit with Him. In the throne as He sits down with His Father in His throne. Revelation 3:21. That's the millennium. Is God through right now? Alright. If 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 is true, is 7 and 8 going to be true? 7 and 8 is just as true as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And you are living. You are in the world for such a time as this. You are at the threshold of a brand new dispensation. You are at the threshold of a brand new age. You are at the threshold of the kingdom of God in its fullness. That's why you're just starting to hear about it. We're standing on the doorstep. We're fixing to go into something brand new in God. Thought. God created man, Genesis chapter 2. One and two. Created him a race. Got it? 2,000 years later, Abraham. Another race. The Hebrew. 2,000 years later, another race. Christians. 2,000 years later. Where are we at? 2,000 years after Christ, another race. A church, a people. Immortal. Death can't hurt them. Nothing can hurt them. I'm talking kingdom. I'm talking millennia. That's where we are sitting at right now. We're at that time. Every 2,000 years, God has another race. And everyone supersedes. Doesn't do away with, but supersedes the one prior to it. Is he through yet, though? There's another one. The last one. Millennia. I mean, the eternal age. Universal. After the 1,000-year reign, or however that works, fullness of that time, there's an everlasting covenant. Everyone supersedes the one prior to it. Does not abolish it, does not eliminate it. Supersedes it. And every one of them gives us more and more understanding about God. Every one of them gives us a greater understanding and revelation of His fellowship. How we can have greater fellowship with Him. how we can be more obedient to Him, how God wants to deal. He's always had dealings with His people, hasn't He? From the very beginning, God has always had dealings with His people. And He has dealings with ages and dispensations and covenants. Ages, dispensations, and covenants. Now, I want to concentrate as I close. On the age of the law and the age of the church. In the age of the law, we saw, if you read it now, you read the pure word of God, you will see all those ceremonies and you will see all those rituals. You will see all those sacrifices. You'll see all of that. You'll see it in its pure state if you just read the books of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Now, what happened as the Pharisee and the Sadducee got a hold of these? They began to pervert it. They began to misinterpret it. They began to say that it was saying something that it wasn't. It was perverted. It was misinterpreted. It was mixed with heathen customs. It was so changed until it no longer, at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it no longer even resembled what God had given at Sinai. Man had taken the law of God and had changed it to where it became what man wanted it to say and do and be. They misinterpreted it, they perverted it, and they brought in heathen customs into it. Now, did God change? No. Did His Word change? What changed? Man changed. Preachers changed. Teachers changed. God never changes. Hebrews 13 says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, man changed it to suit man. You see that, don't you? That's what happened with this law. The law in itself was perfect and pure. But what man done to it made it imperfect and made it something nauseous to God. Now, if we look at today, are we still in the age and the dispensation and the covenant of the church? Are we still there? That's where we're at, isn't it? Help me. We're in the age of the church, we're in the dispensation of grace, and we're in the covenant of the new covenant or the covenant of the church. That's where we're at. We are still in it, aren't we? You got that? We're still in that same age. Are we still serving the same Christ Jesus? We're still serving the same Christ Jesus that they served back, say, at the time of the book of Acts. Is it the same one? Are we still members of the same church that those in the upper room were members of? We're still members of that same church, aren't we? Nothing's changed there. We're still members of that same body, that same church, that same group of people. Do we have access to the same faith that they had? Same faith, isn't it? Nothing's changed about that faith. It's the same faith that Peter could have, that Paul could have, is the same faith that I can have and that you can have. Isn't that true? Same faith. Has God changed? Uh-uh. Are we still in the same dispensation? Are we still in the same age? Are we still under the same covenant? Do we have the same rights as they did in the book of Acts? Do we? Sure. Are we saved by the same grace? The same grace that saved Peter and Paul and those apostles, is it the same grace that saves you today? It's the same grace that saved me. We're still under the same dispensation, the same covenant. We're still under the same area. Then do we have access to the same experiences? Do we still have access to the very same experiences? If we're in the same covenant, if we're under the same age, if we're in the same dispensation, if we have the same Christ, if we have the same faith, if we have everything that they had, why aren't we doing what they did? Because man done the very same thing with the church as he did with the law. He's entered into that thing and he's perverted it. He's entered into that thing and he's misinterpreted it. He's entered into that thing and he's made it something that he wanted it to be. He's entered into that thing and he's brought in heathen customs. Have you studied Christmas? Have you studied Halloween? Do you know what a Christmas tree really represents? I knew I wasn't going to say it, Judy. I knew it wasn't. I can't help it. We brought this junk into the church, and it ain't the church, it ain't what Jesus felt. Lance, put the other one up there. If what I've projected to you is true, if what I've told you has been the truth, then you need to ask yourself these questions. If you are living in the same dispensation, if you are living in the same age, if you are living in the same covenant as Peter, Paul, all those apostles, the book of Acts, you need to study the book of Acts and look at it in the light that that's what you are today. Then you need to know why. You need to ask yourself these questions. Am I enjoying the benefits and blessings that God gave me at the beginning of the church age? Are we? Are we enjoying the same things that they enjoyed? No, we've got our own doctrines. We've got our own thinking about it. We don't care what the Bible says. This is what my people say. This is what the book says that I go by, so I'm not going to go by the Word. Number two, am I walking in the same principles and precepts that Christ Jesus established? Number three, am I experiencing the same type of salvation, the same type of sanctification, the same type of baptisms? I wish I'd put an S on it. In Hebrews chapter 6, it does have an S on it. Am I experiencing the same type of love, the same type of spiritual manifestation that Christ gave and demonstrated? If not, why? Has God changed? Has there been any new revelation from God changing God's will for man since the writings of the New Testament? Has there? You will not find anything in the Word of God that says that this dispensation has ended, that we are not entitled to the same things that the book of Acts had. In fact, that's your prototype. Has there been any new revelation? Oh, I guess I got that one. Number seven. Are there any scriptural reasons why everything that happened in the book of Acts should not still be happening in the church today? Is not